Well, hello to all the listeners to Radio Entrepreneurs. I want to thank you for tuning in, and we are inching closer to over 1 million people who've connected to the show over the last 6 years.
Fantastic.
32 countries. Thank you very much. A couple of thank yous up front. First, we want to thank our host, the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers, and Mark Furman. Mark is currently detained and will be back for other segments, but that has opened up the chair to the one, the only, Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. Hi, Mark.
Good
Jeff,
morning,
great
Mark.
To be with you, and great to be part of the show.
Great. And, you know, I don't think you and I need to introduce our next guest, but for our listeners, we do. You and I have known Hindell forever. Maybe not forever. I don't want to age you.
So long that you pronounce my name right.
Hindell Grossman, owner of Grossman & Associates, an attorney, of course. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about things like what you do and this award you've been nominated for. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, the firm.
Okay. Well, good morning. My firm is in Newton, Massachusetts, and there are three attorneys, and we practice family law, which is otherwise known as divorce law, essentially. We handle prenups, prenuptial agreements, postnuptial agreements, but for the most part, we're helping people transition to a new phase of their life. In other words, giving clients another chance at happiness. So that's what we try to do. Sometimes the clients who come to us don't want the divorce. They don't initiate it. It's the other spouse that does. And so they're not, the clients we're representing aren't really happy about moving forward. But by the end of the process, I think they see a future for themselves and another opportunity.
You know, you can't turn on the TV between 6 a.m. and 7:30 in the morning and not see advertising for attorneys who do similar things.
Yeah.
What do you think when you watch that stuff in the morning? Do you know, because this, the whole landscape of marketing for attorneys has changed.
It has. It used to be primarily personal injury attorneys that advertised, and now it's all kinds of attorneys that advertise.
Right.
And most of them are consumer-oriented kind of law practices, and mine is. It's personal. And the way I distinguish my firm is that, I mean, we make clients feel really taken care of. We understand that they're going through this enormous transition in their lives, so it's important for them to feel like we've got their back and they're taken care of. And so we handle not just the legal part of the transaction and the transition, but also the psychological and the emotional part. I probably give, therapy in my version of therapy without being trained as a therapist. I'd say, 25% of my work is just getting people to see their way through it all, navigate it.
And Hindell, part of your firm, or maybe it's part of your philosophy, is your clients' well-being after the whole process is done. So,
yeah.
For example, you have this amazing Valentine's Day party for your clients where, you know what, maybe they can have an opportunity to meet people or bring people to look at the next step of their life.
Yes, thanks for bringing that up. Yes, I love the Valentine's party because it's kind of the happy part of what we do. So in February, we have had now two annual Valentine's Day parties, and I intend to continue it annually. So we invite clients and their new significant others if they have one, or it could be a networking or even a matchmaking opportunity for
now
them.
I've never been invited. Could I be invited with Mark and he could be my date? We'd be a happy couple.
You could actually be happy to have
we
both
are a
of
happy
you.
Couple Mark.
I'd be happy to have both of you.
Thank you
or each of you.
Thank you.
But it's a lot of fun. Last February we had the Valentine's party, I noticed that two people left the party part and went to go sit in some booths at the restaurant where we had the event. And I was really happy to see that happen. Some connection there.
You brought up something I thought was very important about, sort of another chance at happiness in life. And in my role in working with leadership of organizations, I come across too many leaders who are extraordinarily unhappy at home and too scared to even open the topic of divorce because of its financial consequences. And, I'm sure you come across that a little bit, and maybe I'm opening it up too general for you, but it's hard because I know that they're miserable, and I know there can be life after divorce, although it's hard for people to see through that up front. And unless they want to bring it up to me, it's hard for me to bring it up.
Yeah. But you can see the impact that it has on people's work lives if they're unhappy at home. It's a big distraction.
If you're unhappy at home, I think it affects your leadership.
Yeah.
You can't be a great leader if you're miserable in the house.
Yeah. The problem is ripping the Band-Aid off, because once you do it and the unhappy person initiates the divorce proceedings, it's a big, dark, smelly tunnel, I call it, to be in for a while, and you have to be able to see that there is light. But it's probably a year or so of really unpleasant things happening in a divorce proceeding. So it's someone has to have the stomach to go through it or be forced to go through it if they're not the one initiating it.
In hindsight, I take a bad year. I had a bad 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
A long time ago, though. Yeah. So before reform.
It can take a while. It depends on the level of conflict, really. But also, you know what? Most people want their divorce over with quickly. And I say just, it's not exactly relax into it because you can hardly relax, but just slow down because actually it's best to try each new phase and see how it works. For example, with parenting time, once the parents separate, and the kids are, whatever they're doing, back and forth potentially between two households, it's best to see how that works and give it a couple of months, really, to see. So slowing it down, actually, I think has a better result.
I would probably agree with that. Now, again, you said you've been nominated for this award. Do you want to tell our listeners about that?
Yes, I'm very flattered. A colleague, another divorce attorney, nominated me for an award that Lawyers Weekly gives out annually called, Women's Awards. They're given out in November each year.
Excellent.
And so I've been nominated, and we'll see if I actually get an award. But I'm very excited about the process and very flattered that my colleague recommended me.
Congratulations. Well, first of all, it says something about you because obviously you're a leader in this field, and for a colleague in the field to say, look, here's somebody you should nominate, get the exposure and get the accolades, it says something about your performance.
Yeah, thank
but,
you.
But the other thing is what I think it's very interesting about your practice, obviously you have different types of clients. Obviously you do full service family law, and you balance between, you know what, if we need to go all in representing a client passionately, we're there. At the same time, just as you gave an example, you're looking on a positive path. Maybe you're not all in or all out. You work collaboratively with your client every step of the way. If you can make it work, as you say, by child custody time, working a schedule out, maybe something could happen later, but you're like a very big advisor too.
I am a big advisor, and I anticipate some problems. I mean, sometimes a parent who says they want the children a lot of time really can't manage it with what their other responsibilities. So I give it a try. I always say to clients, let's do this in baby steps. Let's try something, see if it works, and then we'll tweak it. And that's why I think when a divorce takes a little bit longer, it's really okay.
Right.
You get a better result. You might get a better result that way. It relieves some of the anxiety and the eagerness to get it over with. They feel like they're going to be out of pain, or the divorce pain will stop if it's over with quickly. But I know it doesn't end on the day you get divorced. I mean, there's still things to resolve, and there's still interaction between two parents, potentially, or just spouses without children, who have to manage together, negotiate together over all kinds of things, even though the divorce is over.
Sort of a two-part question. Do you do mediation, and what do you think are the pros and cons of mediation?
My philosophy about mediation is it's great when it works. And sometimes, I always tell clients that it's an option. Conciliation, in fact, has become much more popular as well, which is slightly different than mediation. I am not a mediator. I have trouble being completely neutral. I think I could do it if I really tried, but I think I'm better in an advocacy role for a client. Often, divorcing people go to a mediator on their own, and sometimes in that process there's one spouse that doesn't have the either the emotional strength or the financial comfort to advocate for themselves in a mediation, and I think they're better served to have an attorney with them during mediation. But there are a lot of mediators around, and it can be very successful, and it can be a much better process.
You brought up another subject which I hear about frequently in my work with entrepreneurs, and that's the post-nup.
Yeah.
And, just in the past week, someone told me that they had been divorced for over 10, 12 years. Kids are all emancipated. And this person started a new business, and the wife is filing against the new business 10 years after the fact. And I just thought that was kind of interesting. I know it's not post-nuppish, but I just thought it was that crawlback seemed a little bit strong for me.
No money in the new business yet.
I can't speculate. Well, I can speculate, I guess. Right. I can speculate that there was something in their divorce agreement that allows some claim post-divorce. But 10 years surprises me. I mean, it's a long time post-divorce to feel like someone has a claim against a new business. So my first instinct is to go to the separation agreement. And, also known as the divorce agreement, and look at it.
And again, I think, some clients who are thinking of selling their businesses,
yeah,
they think, and are scared about their marriages and are staying married, they think about post-nups.
Yeah.
But they're difficult, aren't they?
Well, you know, I'm trying to work on one now. It's an interesting scenario. These people were living together for about 30 years and then, well, probably 25 years, and then got married, and they've been married for 13 years. So the length of the marriage actually is longer than 13 years by the standards of Massachusetts. But there are some assets here, and they're about 10 years apart. My client is about 10 years senior to the wife. And he really didn't want the divorce, psychologically, I think, or legally didn't necessarily want the divorce, but he wanted there to be some a mutual financial understanding about where they stand, and they separated about 2 years ago. So he was okay with just living separately, as long as there was an understanding what would happen there with their assets. And he just learned about a week ago that his wife changed her mind and didn't want just the postnup, wanted the divorce. So, you know, he's kind of adjusting to that news, which is not how he wanted it to go.
I'm always the last to know.
Did they have
I just told you something, huh?
especially when they were together that amount of years before, did they have a prenuptial agreement before?
No, they did not. No.
Interesting.
And he has a lot of premarital assets, even before the period of time they began living together. Which were inherited assets. So, you know, like every case, there's all sorts of interesting twists and turns.
Everybody, we've been speaking to the wonderful Hindell Grossman, owner of Grossman & Associates. Hindell, if somebody wants to find you, how would they do that?
Well, many ways. We have a website, which is Grossman LTD, www, of course. The phone number, 617-969-0069.
It's good that you said the phone number because Mark Z always wants everyone to give their phone numbers. That's one of his trademarks.
I do like speaking to people on the telephone.
So do I. It's still a useful tool.
Yeah. It's important.
And again, if you wanted to get hold of Mark Z, legal staffing, just Mark, why don't you tell people how people can get hold of you?
At 617-338-1300 or Mark Z Legal, MarkZLegal.com.
Right, we have used the services of Mark Z Legal, so I want to compliment Mark on the services you've rendered to my firm.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Appreciate it.
That's very nice.
Yes. Mutual appreciation.
Mark always answers the phone when I call, and he's always been helpful to me. He just helped me last month immensely with a particular problem that one of my clients had. He's always been helpful. But I should also mention, besides Mark Furman and the law firm of Tarla, Breed, Hart & Rogers hosting this segment, we also have the one and the only Rich Hershen in studio. From Greg Gregory, another one of our radio show sponsors. So we got a full day here at Radio Entrepreneurs, and we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Thanks so much.